I do need to have my voice amplified.
Yeah.
The thing of it is, if I don't have this on and I speak louder, people think I'm mad at them. That's not true. But that is the thought that they, I think, get. So without that, obviously I don't have to look like I'm mad, which I'm not. I'm very, very happy and rejoicing that we are here and given an opportunity to speak. I'm not saying this in any kind of disrespect, but one of the things we always did at our conferences back in Lafayette, Indiana, we had a theme. Well, Ronnie never wants to have a theme. But this year,
funny that way.
Yeah. So, but he bought these t-shirts for us to wear, and on it is going to be what my message is going to be about. And so I think it's very appropriate that the theme that we're going to have this year is on 2 Timothy 2:15 and then 2 Timothy 3:16. And so we're going to be in the book of Timothy a lot, but we'll also spend a little bit of time in Proverbs, and basically we'll be just talking about the thinking of God Almighty, our Christ and Head, came up with a plan and put a lot of responsibility on human beings. And so as we grow up and mature, the things that we learn from the scriptures, we have an appreciation more and more about what God does, what he wanted to do, and how he used man to spread the truth. It's very unusual if you think about that, that he would use such as I to spread the word, spread the truth, and be have a desire to learn how to love and in the same manner in which God loves us. So, we're going to start out just by going to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And when we talk about and think about God's plans, He has several plans, and He rolls them out over time. And He, believe it or not, when He started, He had us in mind before creating, I mean body members. And it's our hope, our desire to continue to grow and to continue to learn more about God. I continue as I get older. I don't know how wise I am, but I do know that I want to know God more, and I want to be more like God, and I want to be used by God. I do think that our time is a little bit short compared to what it was when the Lord started, which was before the foundation. And so with that, if you'll turn to 2 Timothy 2:15, we'll read, that's one of the things that we're going to do. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God. So as we get older, we realize that that's who we're working for. That's who we're desiring to lift up is the Lord. And in order to get to know Him, it says to study. And so we have a Bible that can be used to help us to study. And so we're thankful. Now, at least I am, having a computer with scriptures on it. So that's who I'm seeking approval from, is the Lord Jesus Christ, our head. And it goes on to say, approved unto God. So we want to have that reference to realize that that's who we're working for. So we have to get to know Him better to know how we should behave and how we should act and how we should live and how we should try to help others to learn the truth of God's Word. So we're looking for God's approval. His approval is really the only one that really counts. Other men want to judge us and make accusations, but in reality, it's not that we don't care at all, but we're not seeking approval from other men, nor exactly what they believe or don't believe, because our approval is done by God. And He's the only judge who can judge us accurately and correctly. And so that's why Paul just approved this statement that we are to be approved unto God. And it says it's a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. When I took over this ministry from Joe Watkins, I didn't realize everything there was to learn. But as I continued to grow and study and share, Joe never really ever thought of himself as a teacher, but more of a student. And that's really the way I think about myself. But it's a workman. So this is not a kid's business. It's not something that the Lord allows us to grow and to know Him. And as we do that, then we are capable and able to be able to give a testimony, a witness, and be able to, a workman that says it needeth not to be ashamed. So we shouldn't be. When God says we shouldn't be ashamed, then we shouldn't be. We should be willing to share the truth with others. And the next part of this verse is the part that's most important as far as I'm concerned, where it says, rightly dividing the word of truth. And believe me, the world has no idea what we're talking about when it comes to rightly dividing. It's a key, but the thing about it is it's not something that I personally, I try not to judge. I try to leave all that judgment up to Him, and I try to rightly divide the word of truth, because I'm not sure how many different plans there are that God has, but I know as I continue to study the scriptures, I find that there's more and more ways that we need to rightly divide, and it's the word of truth. That's our foundation. I'm going to read 2 Timothy 2:1. He says, and this is the Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy, who became Paul's adopted son. That sonship adoption, I think, is the way the Lord works, gives us the truth. So he says, thou, therefore, my son. So he really means that. I mean, he took him under his wing. He was one of those saints that he decided to invest in, spend time with, and he became like-minded with Paul. And that's something to be said for that. And I'm going to say that Timothy did have a mom and a grandmother who helped him understand the truth as he knew it in the beginning, and then as he learned and used the Apostle Paul to try to have somebody he could look up to and somebody that he could imitate. So I think of us as being that we should be imitators of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not that Paul was a god. He was a man like you and I, but that's one of the things that God used was mankind, body members really, to know this truth that we hold so dear to our hearts now. So he goes on to say, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And that's something that you learn and grow as you get older, how to realize and appreciate what that grace is. So what we have in Christ, all the different things that we have, it wasn't like we deserved it, this grace, but it was more that this is how God is. And that's what I'm doing as I continue to get older, is to learn more and more about His grace. And I'm learning more and more how to love and not be so judgmental of others, and not allow others to judge me. That they don't have that power if we don't give it to Him. And so we're not going to give it to Him. We're going to be strong in the Lord. So it says in verse 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men." So this is why we have these conferences, and this is why we share the truth, is to try to do what the Lord's command is, really. It says that we should share this, or commit this, to faithful men. "And who shall be able to teach others also." So even though we're not the teacher, the Holy Spirit is the teacher, we can share the truth with others and help them to realize just how important these scriptures are to us. Paul's last seven epistles especially. He goes on to say, in verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." So that's something that we can think of ourselves as being soldiers. Obviously, when we start out, we don't know very much. And so we're not really, it's like I was in the Air Force. And one of the things you have to do is go through boot camp, basic training. And so when you do that, when you first get enlist, the people that are leading, first thing they want to do is bring us down so we can start to learn. So I think that's the way the Lord works with us. He wants to, when he says endure hardness, it means that it's not going to necessarily be easy, but we need to be stronger in the Lord, put our faith and confidence in Him and His Word. And so think of yourself as a soldier, maybe just going through boot camp in the beginning, but as we continue to grow, we can continue to be more like Christ. He says in verse 4, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier." So think about that. And that's our occupation, as it was to us, to be a good soldier. And there are some sacrifices that we make. We don't necessarily think of them as sacrifices, but rather we think of them as a way of getting to know Him and knowing what He expects from us, and then asking for His help. I have more prayers now, not only just for myself, but for other saints that understand and know this truth.
Amen.
So it's we've got the instruction book here in our hands. All we got to do is depend on it and use it. And when we go to work for the Lord, we just accept that. That's our job. And being a soldier is part of it. He says in verse 5, if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. So we said earlier that we've been chosen by grace, but we also know that the Lord has rules, and he wants us to keep those rules, to make those thoughts and to be in our mind, to let our mind be so bent in towards him, towards who Christ is. And so as we think about this, he says no man worth entangle himself with the affairs. What it means is we have to volunteer. It's something I tried not to do when I was in boot camp. Volunteer for teaching lessons. But it is how the Lord works. It is strange when you think about it, that of all the beings in the universe, that he chose man to reveal himself to others. And so we, people like the Apostle Paul had that as his mission in life, to become more like Christ. And so the rules are that we shouldn't be, and I think of it as being overburdened. Because I don't know anybody who lives in this life and doesn't suffer some and doesn't have some responsibilities if they truly want to know the Lord. But I will say this, the more I get to know God, the more I get to know the Lord, who he is and his plan and purposes for body members, but also for just mankind in general, because he would have all men saved and come into a knowledge of the truth. So he goes on to say, the husbandman. So these are kind of mentioning different occupations that people have. He says, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruits. When you study the Old Testament, you see what these different responsibilities were that these saints then had to learn. One of the things would be, if you are going to be a farmer, then you need to eat of the food that is provided for us by the Lord. And so as a result of that, if we didn't eat, and for most of us, that's not really too big of an issue. We love to eat. And so as a result, we're supposed to be first partakers of the fruits. And it's just another way of God saying, that's what I need you to do. Keep your strength up. In this case, there's farmers that are husbandmen that laboreth. And so if they didn't eat or partake of the food that the Lord provided, then they would be weak, or in a weakened state at least. So he goes on to say, consider what I say, that the Lord give thee understanding in all things. This takes a while. It's not something where he snaps his fingers and he gives you all this information. It's about like, you know, raising children. When they're small, they need a lot of guidance and help helping them to grow, to become more useful as they get older and learn more about the Lord. So he says, the understanding comes from God's Word and from the Holy Spirit who teaches us. And we kind of get the information that we need when it's time. The Lord does things in His timing for us. And it's amazing when He does that, that we, He doesn't, it's like I think of electricity as a source of power. But when the Lord gives us this increased power to know and understand Him, He doesn't overload us to the point where our circuits are blown and we need to replace the fuses, so to speak. But He says, He'll give the understanding. I think it's in His time. And so as we grow and know more about Him, we really appreciate more about what we didn't know and what we do know now. So He goes on to say, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David. Here again is where we think about the man. God, Christ, actually He's the Creator. And one of the things that He did was create the man. And the reason for that, for David, being the seed of David, the Lord eventually becomes the Lord of Lords, King of Kings. So as a responsibility of that is that he can identify with man. That's who He's most interested in. And I think body members are someone who He has His attention. He has our attention. As a result, we continue to realize the importance of the genealogy of where I can just imagine if God had somebody that could criticize Him saying, well, you're God, you're perfect. But as we consider man, we know we're imperfect. And so, we prove it all the time with some of our actions and some of our beliefs. But as we grow, we do become more like Him if we take these scriptures to heart. So doing it lawfully, to me, means He has guidelines for us to know and to learn. Obviously, nobody ever kept the Ten Commandments except the Lord Himself. And so as a result, it's not something that happens quickly. It takes time. And being the seed of David, it says He was raised from the dead, which made Him qualified to become the sin offering for us, for mankind. He says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. And remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. The word gospel has the idea of good news. It has the idea, sometimes when we see some of the rules, some of the requirements and restrictions that we have, sometimes we don't enjoy some of these things. But this is how we learn. And so we need to realize that, that some of the sufferings that we endure compared to what the Lord endured, our troubles are not that big. It's not really because of the way the Lord does it and has plans and purposes on how he educates us and helps us to grow. He goes on to say, the gospel, there's more than one gospel, there's many gospels, and we can identify those different gospels by studying His Word. He goes on to say, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even into bonds, which means he was put in prison. But the Word of God is not bound. Paul's attitude about what he did, he said he was actually going to be filling up the sufferings of Christ. Because we think about it, when he was on the earth, he wasn't really, Paul, or Christ was not really just thinking about us, but rather he was thinking about mankind in general. So he provided different rules, different guidelines to make that happen. And so I don't think anybody I know wants to go into a prison. Paul's prisons were not well lit, and yet when he was in there with others, he was being a witness for Christ, and he was winning others over by singing and by sharing the truth with other prisoners, other people that were not acceptable. It's again just a beautiful way the way the Lord works, and how he used the Apostle Paul, who was really a good example to Timothy, but he's also a really good example to us, how we should conduct ourselves and think about ourselves, think about our future. So he says, but the Word of God is not bound. What I have learned to do is pray for opportunities to share the truth. And if somebody doesn't want to hear or doesn't want to know about what we believe, then I don't spend a lot of time trying to teach them, other than just a few short words that would say, believe in God. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that we would have life, life in his name. That's the whole book of John is written with that purpose in view, revealing that. And so, even though the truth that we teach and share has to do more with not just giving people life or allowing the Lord to give other people to have life, we emphasize the things that Paul taught, referring to the mysterion, mystery, as it were. And there's many mysteries in God we don't really realize when we start out, but we do as we get older, that there are many secrets that he has, and he only gives those truths to those who really want it, who will make the sacrifice to learn what he's talking about. So he goes on to say, Word of God, it says, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Obviously, this is not something that you get right away. This also takes time to get to know more about salvation. Is one of those, it's a really, really big word, and there's lots of different ways that the Lord can save us, preserve us, keep us, protect us, provide for us, and yet most of the time the world doesn't even know exists. So foolish. That's why I think sometimes it's incredible that he chose man to reveal the truth to others. He goes on to say, it is a faithful saying. In other words, this is something you can take to heart, that you can have faith in, that you can have belief in. And I see this as the process too, that we have, as we get older, we get more dependent upon the Lord. Val and I, when we pray, we always say that all the answers don't have to be yes. When God's revealing things to us, sometimes he reveals the truth to us before we even asked for it, or we didn't even know what the question was. But he gives us an answer. So there's other times he says, no, this isn't good for you. This is not good for your benefit. Therefore, he does both things, depending on where we're at in our life, what we need, what we're praying for. He says that it's a faithful saying for to be dead with him. This is a reckoning thing. We're really not dead, but we are when it comes to understanding all the things the Lord would have us to know. But if we reckon ourselves to be dead to sin, to the flesh, then it's a way for us to grow and be more like him, which is our desire. It says, for if we be dead with him, reckoning this, that we are dead to sin, then we also shall also live with him. And that's the ultimate goal for us, is to be resurrected in the heavenly places far above all, and dwell with him, live with him, learn right as he is. If he's in the throne, we're standing before the throne and worshiping him, and he desires that we live and to be more like him. He says, if we suffer, we shall also reign. So think of a lowly human being reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ, but he has provided everything we need. And it's our desire. It says that when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we shall appear with him in glory. So we're looking forward to that. We're looking forward to resurrection and not having to deal with the flesh. And that's what the Lord wants for us. He says, we shall also reign with him. With learning comes responsibilities. As the Lord really had, this is his plan for us. He said, reign with him. And it also said, if we deny him, he also will deny us. I can't imagine anybody learning about this message and then wanting not to reign with him. Obviously, he's going to qualify us and make it possible for us to do that, and not to have the flesh to interfere, or even Satan trying to attack us, because he's eventually going to be gone, and he's certainly not going to be resurrected to live in the heavenly places. He isn't qualified, and God, he's the one that determines who is a body member and what responsibilities they're going to have in the future. We all have many different, I think of things as being, like engineers, I know how they think. I don't think that way, but I know how they think about being in the, so they're in their mind when they're trying to answer a question, they're looking at it from that point of view, as an engineer would look at it. So I think that's how the Lord prepares us and gets us in a position that we can think of it as it's a privilege to be able to suffer for the Lord. It's something that we can and should do. It goes on in 14, of these things, put them in remembrance. Whenever he says that, it's always like, remember this. This is really important. You're going to need this later. He says, put these things in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit. There's a lot of people you get in discussion about religion, and it seems like it goes on and on and on, and never gets answered. Because they don't have ears to hear, or they don't want to hear, and so as a result, it's frustrating. It was frustrating for Paul when he started out, and the Lord gave him the truth. A chosen apostle that had a commission. And he said he was going to fill out the sufferings of Christ. So there was going to be that, but he was willing to do it, willing to admit that suffering. So he goes on to say, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. It's because he's God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He cannot deny that. He's not a liar, and he's not going to say something that's not the truth. It doesn't lift up the Father. So he goes on to say, words of no profit. To me, those are just the conversations maybe that we, I don't want to say they were completely a waste of time, but they're, it's getting people, I think Satan tries to get our focus on ourselves or somebody else, which is him. Then the idea is that we can avoid some of those conversations by just realizing and listening to see if other people hear what we're saying. And if they have a desire, I want to know more. He goes on, it's words to no profit. So avoid those conversations. That's the best way I can put it. If they're not interested, don't try to push it or make them. But rather, it says it's but to the subverting of the hearers. So if they can take our mind off of what we should be focused on, the truth, then in a sense, they've won that battle for a season. So Paul was very sure, well, the Lord told him what he was going to do and how he was going to suffer, and he was willing to do that. And then coming down to our verse that we started out with, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So is it possible not to study and rightly divide? Certainly. And as we get older, we realize that. Paul says, when I was a child, I thought as a child. When I became an adult, I started thinking like an adult, someone who was mature, someone who could take on responsibilities and do more. He goes on in verse 16, it says, but shun profane and vain babblings. In other words, if they want to get you off on a tangent somewhere where you're involved with arguing with somebody who didn't want to know the truth anyway, it's just avoid it. We don't have to fix it. We don't have to make everybody believe it. We just pray for opportunities to share and to be helping others in that, with that. He says in verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness. And I think Satan, that's where he goes to work, is trying to get us to get our mind on ourselves or someone else and not so much Christ and the truth of the mystery. Amen. He says, who concerning the truth have erred. It's hard to imagine or think about body members not wanting to remain faithful to the truth. But we also know we have the capacity to err or not spend, I think, the time studying and thinking about the Lord, but rather being focused on other things, other distractions. So he says in verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. We can depend on that. We can depend on that he knows we're here. He cares about us. Amen. And he wants us to share with others the truth about who Christ is. I like the title, the head. He is our head. We know there's a lot of responsibilities that come with being part of the head. But I believe that's what we're going to be in the heavenly places, is we are His body, and we are going to be more like Him. This is nevertheless the foundation of God standing sure, having this seal. I find great comfort in the fact that Christ has put His seal upon us, each and every one of us, especially in this room. But we know there's people, there's body members all over the world. And so I think it's part of our responsibility to share that truth as we know and understand it, and be willing to share the truth with others. He says, so the seals are very, very important. The longer and longer I'm in the Word, the more and more I realize that the seal that's on us is a thing of protection for us, guidance. It says, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And iniquity is a longer word just to say avoid things that are, well, they're a waste of time. You know, we shouldn't spend lots and lots of time trying to get involved and try to please ourselves. Really, what we do is we're being judged by Christ, and He can judge us and do it in such a way that He always has our best interest in view, and He has ways of doing that. You know, this want through, this desire to want to know more is really what the Lord's looking for in us, that we would be willing to search the Scriptures to see what He has to say in His Word. So, it also says, prepared unto every good work. He says in verse 22, flee unto, and also youthful lust. We know as we get older that our desires change as we get older. And we want to spend less time talking about and thinking about the ways of the world, but rather thinking about and learning more about Him, about Christ. So he says, we also youthful lust, but follow righteousness. These instructions that he's giving right here, these things are already good for us. And they're a benefit as we take the time to learn about these things that he's mentioning here. He says, follow righteousness. In other words, having a desire to be right with our understanding of who he is and what he's done, what he's provided. It says, faith. To me, it goes in steps from believing to having faith, and eventually it's his faith. You think about everything he did for us. He became our sin offering. He didn't sin, but it was necessary that he die for our sins and our hope, our calling, everything that goes along with it. So he goes on to say, faith, and that's something that it's his faith. It's not ours. We're not looking to ourselves saying we're saved because of what I did. We're saved because of what he did. And he did it all. We're complete in him. Nothing to add. Hard to believe when you're young, but not so hard when you're older. But it's his faith that really counts. It's just a way of thinking about everything he does. He does it. He thinks about us, and we should think about him. He goes on to say, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I think, I want to speak for myself, but I think that as I grow more and more in the Lord, I have more and more of a desire to want that peace. Because it seems like when you look out to the world, it's hard to have any peace. There's always someone trying to do something of the Satan's bidding. And so we can avoid that, though. We can reckon ourselves dead unto sin. He says, 24, that the servant of the Lord must not strive. And that's verse 24. But be gentle in all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So I see this as a process, a growing process, that we, as we desire to want to know more about Him and His love and what He's doing for us, it helps us to think more about His plan for us and how He wants to use us to fulfill His plans. 26 says, "And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who has taken captive by him at his will." And believe me, the devil, Satan, is—he is our enemy. He's not our friend, no matter what he says or what he says he's going to give. He is not a—he's not our friend. We don't want to serve him or the flesh. So that was all about study to show thyself approved workman. So think of that. Is my time up? I don't know how that happened. I still have a lot of notes up here. But yeah, time flies when you're having fun, right? All right, I'm going to then stop and say a quick prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the time, for the people, for the truth, and all that you provide for us. We are so, I don't know, happy is not probably a good word, but I'll say blessed. We are so blessed by being here. And given an opportunity to share God's word. So with that, I'm going to shut this and quit talking.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.